Hey.
That would be my son, who we tried to get to say, welcome to the Health Revival Show, but
no.
At least he did it. Carson's like too cool for school right now. It is, we wanted him to do the Christmas choir and he wouldn't.
At church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, puts on the face of like, I don't know, mom. That's lame. I'm like, I can't. You're seven.
Oh no. Yep. That's early for lame.
I know. I know. It's a whole thing. It is just, he is,
I will say sometimes though, I do notice that Marcus will catch me in those mom moments where you have the brain fog and you're trying to think of something. And I'm just saying words that are opposite. Like, I can't, this morning he wanted to play chess before school. And I was like, okay, set up your side. But really what I was trying to say is like, set up my side, set up both sides, set up the whole thing. He's like, you keep telling me set up my side. I already set it up. I'm like, mom means just set everything up because I just need the board to be ready. And then we have like 7 minutes before we're leaving for school. Yep. So there's definitely those mom brain moments.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's such fun times right now. And yeah, I try to do Carson's hair. I try to, you know, make him look presentable for school. And he's like, stop touching my head. Or, you know, no, I just want to leave it like it is. Let me wear this. He wears the same 5 jerseys every week on repeat. So okay. Guess what he's getting for Christmas? Different jerseys so that we can introduce different ones into the repeat. Oh my goodness.
At least Marcus likes doing his hair and he likes wearing cologne. He likes the Dime men's cologne. Yeah. So it's really cute. It's also one of those things where you're just growing up way too fast and your little attitude is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I was saying earlier, Ethan's also turning that corner of really coming into having his own
personality,
little attitude starting to come out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we are in for the ride of our life. Probably you think the baby stage is so cute. And it is so cute. It's so fun right now. He's so happy most of the time. But then there are those moments where I'm like, oh, you're already showing me that you're going to be a challenge.
Yeah. Second child, man. Second childs are feral. Taylor's insane. She one, never stops talking, and she two, never stops moving. Like, it is just constant energy all the time. And she doesn't walk. Like, she jumps, she skips, she spins, she runs. Like, there's no walking normally. And it just word vomit constantly and random stories and recollections of like a show she watched that makes zero sense to me when she tells me about it. And it's a lot.
Tell them how. So we're recording before Christmas and Becca gave me the Christmas present today, which the super cute pants from Aerie.
Yes.
Bringing us back into our days.
Yes.
All we're missing, honestly, is Abercrombie and Fitch.
I know.
Perfume.
Oh gosh. And that just like the onslaught of scent when you would walk into that place. Oh my goodness.
But it was fierce. Hands down, in my opinion, still to this day, it's that nostalgia for me. It's that smell and it just brings you back. Like, I've been thinking about this. I think I said this on a different podcast or maybe I just shared it with you, but being 37, I feel like I should be 24. All right. If you're dealing with water retention, you're waking up puffy, your ankles or your wrists are really swollen, or you can't get your rings off, and maybe you're even dragging throughout the day, no matter how much water you drink, there's actually a good chance that you're not actually hydrating properly.
Exactly. Because water alone is not enough. You need electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium, magnesium, because those things actually pull water into your cells. Otherwise, you're basically just flushing it out and wondering why you're still tired, you're still bloated, and you're still sluggish.
But here's the thing. Most electrolyte supplements out there aren't helping you in any way because a lot of them contain things like natural flavors, food dyes, and maltodextrin, which can irritate your gut. And these things can also spike your blood sugar when you're trying to heal.
That's why we both started using Buoy. It's super simple. There's trace minerals and electrolytes in liquid form. No flavors, no colors, no sugar, no sweeteners. And you squeeze it into whatever you are drinking. Water, coffee, tea, smoothies, you name it.
And it's clinically backed by science too. So studies have shown that Buoy helps you hydrate better, 64% better in fact. And that's data coming from key blood and urinary markers, not just marketing fluff. And honestly, you can feel the difference. I've had many clients tell me their digestion's improved, they have less headaches, and they're better energy throughout the day.
And Buoy isn't just for people that go to the gym all the time and sweat a bunch. They actually offer a 35% lifetime discount for anyone that's struggling with chronic illnesses. Things like POTS, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, chronic migraines, and every autoimmune condition. They're really committed to making better hydration accessible to people who need it most.
I actually throw it in my coffee every morning because it's such an easy upgrade. You don't even taste it, but you're definitely going to notice if you miss it.
If you're tired of playing hydration roulette and want something that actually supports your body, you've got to try Buoy. It's honestly one of the simplest ways to feel better faster.
Yes. Because there's so many things that when I see it, I hear it, like, actually. So I did tell you this. So I had like an afternoon just to myself, got my nails done, did some shopping before I had to get the kids from school and daycare. And I was just having Mariah Carey remix rhymes. And it's so amazing how, as I mentioned before, you can have this mom brain. You're trying to think of things, but you put on Obsessed and I'm like rapping it, singing it. I haven't heard that song in probably 6 years.
Yes.
But I know the words.
Oh yeah. Movies, like all the things. I can recollect those things. It's a different part of your brain. It's got to be a different part of your brain. But on the way over this morning, Taylor's so cute. She's still like trying to understand time and the same thing. So when she helps me make dinner, she says things like, "Mom, can I help you do this all day, every day?" And it's just like her way of saying, "I want to help you like all the time. I like doing this." But on the way over, I, had Liz's present in the front seat and it was like a big Christmas bag. She's like, "Mom, whose big present is that?" And I was like, "Well, it's my friend's. It's Liz's, who I work with." And she goes, "Well, when did you get it?" And I was like, "I got it last week." And she was like, "Was I not born yet?" Cause she like couldn't remember that I got it. And so to her, that means like she wasn't in this world yet. And I was like, "No, Taylor, I ordered it online. You weren't with me when I bought it. I know you're typically with me when I buy things, but you were not with me when I bought it." And she was like, "Was I bothering you in your office?" And I was like, "You were not home. You were at school when I ordered this off my phone." And I was like, "I can't." And also, I feel like a horrible mother because your recollection of me being in my office is typically you guys bothering me when I'm trying to get work done. You obviously understand that concept, but it's just so cute. I was like, "No, sweetie, I got it online. I ordered it and it came in the mail." And it's just adorable.
It's so cute what goes through their minds and as they're processing things. But you know, I think we've said this before. I don't mind that my kids see me work hard. Mm-mm. You know, there's a lot of things that we have to do. We don't watch a lot of TV. We don't have time for a lot of TV. Mm-hmm. And when we do, I mean, I'm usually asleep in the first 20 minutes of a show or, you know, it's like, okay, you get a half hour. Mm-hmm. We're doing something else. I'm working on my phone. I'm working on protocols at night. And then, all right, yeah. Mom and dad get 30 yeah. minutes or something. Yeah. We just don't, I don't know. I just don't have a lot of time for those things. So anyways, we're in the new year.
Yeah. Almost the 29th.
This is the 29th. Okay.
I was Monday, like, the 29th.
Actually confused because I was out of the conversation before we started this. So it's almost
a few days,
2026. We have been podcasting for 6 years.
That's crazy.
Right? No, five years. We started January of 2020. So technically we're finishing our fifth year.
Yes. It's crazy to me how long we've known each other.
Mm-hmm. Almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be 40
soon.
How much
we've grown. And I always get time hops and I'm like, God.
Oh.
Like, no offense at all to either of us, but like, we're a lot better looking now. And
we were really chubby.
We were a little chubby.
Orange.
Didn't know fashion as well.
I was like, okay, I still don't think it looks good. Blonde. Why didn't anyone tell me, except for my husband who just wants me to be blonde all the time? This was not a good look. And I was actually at my hairdresser's. You had the same hair, you know, whatever, appointment a couple weeks ago. And she's doing more of like the reddish purple. I wanted to be more purple next time, but either way, I like where I went in with the ombre last time. I thought that was a good like caramel color. It wasn't too much, but I was scrolling through my messages to get her new address. And I found me sending her a picture of very brassy, in my opinion. Now, at that point, I was texting her saying, "Look at this amazing color job." And it was a screenshot from my Instagram on the Poop Queen. And I was like, "Megan, I know that probably you thought at the same time this looked really good. But if we look back on it now, I'm like, do you see what I'm seeing? We're not doing that again. Do not allow me to come back in here." And she's like, "But Art loves it blonde." I was like, "Well, there's levels of blonde that are okay. That was too much."
I even think when I went blonde, it was too much. I think in the moment, I really liked it.
It was summer though. Seasonally, I think.
Yeah. It was very much so summer. And then my roots started growing out and I didn't get it colored midway between the extensions, which didn't help. And I have like relatively dark blonde hair. I would say close to brunette. And it just didn't look good. And so I see videos now from like a month ago and I'm like, oh God. And it also lost its low, I lost my low lights throughout it. And so like you couldn't see the, it was just basically brassy blonde towards the end of it. And I'm working towards getting more towards my original color, but like balayage type. Yeah. And I'm loving it now. But yeah, it's crazy the things that I thought looked good. Especially as a kid.
Well, and also if we think about where we were, I mean, we're sitting in an amazing podcast studio today. We started in the small room. Well, first we got to take it back to OCF, O'Hare CrossFit, where the blue was real bad. I didn't own the gym, so I wouldn't, you know, say anything because it wasn't my fault, but the blue was just real bad. It was interesting. And here we were there just, but this is how it works, right? You have to put in the reps. You have to start without being perfect. If we were waiting, we would never build the business that we have now. We would never be going into 2026 with a bigger team and a bigger vision than ever. I mean, there are some videos that keep popping up for me where I'm in the car. I distinctly remember making this video. I'm in traffic and I'm like doing a mindset video. Like, why was that okay? It was clearly not okay. But you know, it's the repetition. It's looking back. It's learning. It's failing. It's making mistakes and learning from those mistakes. And somehow people just kept following. And
I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too, but it's very humble.
Oh yeah.
Very humbling to think right now we're sitting here on a Tuesday in Illinois. Marcus is upstairs. We're podcasting and we're speaking to people all over the world. Isn't that wild? And I'm saying Marcus is upstairs because it's like my kids are home. They're involved in our life, right? Like, it's really cool. And then, you know, I would just say to you guys listening, sometimes when you say something to us or you tag us or, you know, your podcast is like the number one on my Spotify list for this year. It's such an honor. Like I really get teary eyed.
Oh yeah. The people that message, and I know you get this too, but the people that message me on Instagram and are like, I just want to say thank you for like all the information you put out. I'm so glad I found you. It's such like Liz and I make zero money. I mean, yeah, we'll make some money on some reels here and there, but like we make zero money off Instagram pretty much. It's really just free education and support for people that, you know, do not get the right information elsewhere. And so it is a huge passion project, just like our podcast is. Our podcast, we do not make money off of. We just do this for you guys. So hopefully you share, you subscribe, you play your role in helping us reach more people. That's all we ask of you. We don't ask much. But that's all we ask of you as a listener is to help us spread the word to people that need it. So
pay your dues.
Pay your dues.
Send it to a friend.
And today we're going to talk about the 10 commandments of HRT because I have seen so many people come and just be honestly a mess and wanting hormones to help them and wanting to get the same benefits that all these women talk about and on insane doses and all of these different things. And I think that these 10 commandments can be helpful to understand how I would approach it in an ideal world. Obviously, there's not an ideal world all the time. This is if you can get ahead of it. And what the research does seem to show is that the earlier you get on hormones in perimenopause, the better the outcomes. It's just what it seems to show. So this is being said from a standpoint of you're looking into this before you're completely in menopause. You are looking into it in, you know, late 30s, 40s, mid 40s, whenever it might be. So yeah, we're going to talk about the top 10 things you need to consider when going HRT.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to discuss because I see a lot on my side where people have a lot of dysfunction and they're going on hormones thinking it's going to make everything worse. And sometimes you're getting relief in one or two symptoms, but then you're creating a lot of other issues or you're spending a lot of money on compounded HRT and you're not feeling it. You're not getting the benefit. And I mean, Beck and I can both attest to having conversations where we're talking to individuals who have been taken up to 1200, 1400 milligrams of progesterone a night. They're like, I don't feel it. I don't sleep. I don't, you know, have the benefits that everyone else says. And so they just think that more is going to be more for them. And it's not. And if that is you and you're listening to this right now, I would really encourage you to A, don't change anything until you, you know, speak with your provider or work with a practitioner who can guide you through this. But I would encourage you to consider potentially going through a period of time where you're letting some of these hormones wash out of your system, and you're doing the priming and preparation that Becca talks about in some of her guides, as far as the gut work, the blood sugar work, the inflammation work, because you're kind of wasting money if, and trust me, like, we both have testosterone and progesterone. I'm not using my progesterone at the moment, but I still have paid for compounded progesterone, and it's pricey. Mm-hmm. There's a cost to everything. And so if you are taking things and you're not getting the benefit of it, and also the caveat here would be, you've worked with a provider, they've adjusted your dosing, you're looking at, you know, everything outside of just, let's say, your HRT labs, like, again, your gut health, your blood sugar, your inflammation, your stress, your sleep, all of those other things. You may go through a period of time where you do a washout, and you then bring them back later on, and you notice, wow, I actually feel the benefit now, and I don't need these crazy, insane high levels. Like, to me, I think going above 400 milligrams of progesterone is wild. And this is not my 100% expertise, because I know a lot of doctors believe in these crazy high levels to get you back to youthful levels. But to tell someone to take 12 to 1400 milligrams of progesterone a night, there's also a cost to that outside of your finances. I mean, I've seen 400 milligrams cause a lot of insulin resistance for people too.
Yeah, I think the big belief system around this is, because of the dysfunction in our world today, we need higher levels of hormones to be able to reach the receptor levels and get the effect that you want. But in my opinion, like, why not just fix as much dysfunction as you can then? And then you don't need those levels, because unfortunately, a lot of these can create a level of receptor insensitivity issues to where that dose doesn't work anymore, especially if you aren't fixing the underlying problems that were already there to begin with. And like we said, you can maybe fix one symptom, but then other ones get worse, right? And like, you got to evaluate the pros and the cons. And I have worked with many women prior to going on hormone replacement therapy, and then after we resolve all of the things possible and then go on hormones, it's like, amazing. They're optimized now. It optimizes an even already optimized environment. Like, that's what you want from hormones. You want them to be amplifiers in a positive environment. You don't want them to be worseners in a negative environment, because that's what they'll do. Messing with the endocrine system is not something we do lightly, because you mess with a lot of stuff when you mess with the endocrine system. And so it's a shame that a lot of these people in the HRT world, unfortunately, don't really evaluate the rest of the system. There are some good ones out there, and we appreciate those people, but a lot of them are just looking at blood labs and diagnosing off of that or prescribing off of that. And you may not see everything with blood labs. You may not see how well it's being received at the receptor level. You may not see, you know, what it's doing in terms of metabolization in the body. So yeah, I just see so many people where it's an awful experience, and
then they stop it.
Then they stop it, or they blame the hormones and think it's a hormones problem. And it might not have been. It may be a mixed bag of what's going on. And so anyways, these things can help at least get you started in a much better position when approaching hormone replacement therapy. So the number one commandment is, do not take unopposed estrogen. If you are on estradiol HRT of any form, in my opinion, you need to include progesterone to balance it. And that is because progesterone is so important for things beyond just uterine health. You are talking GABAergic effect on the brain for mood and sleep. You are talking balancing estrogen's pro-growth kind of stimulation effect of breast tissue, of other tissue in the body. You are thinking, obviously, protection for breast cancer and uterine cancer, because although estrogen does not cause cancer, it can influence cancer. By all means, it can. And progesterone is the balancer of that. That is why progesterone is so helpful when you bring it in with estrogen. Estrogen can also cause wateriness and bloating. It can stimulate the immune system, and so it can drive a lot of inflammation for people. And progesterone is more of a balancer to the immune system. And so you need both of them to kind of have harmony. And in my experience, when people are bringing to me that they didn't tolerate progesterone, there's usually the type of progesterone was not right, the dosing was started too high, or there's other issues going on that need to be addressed. Because unless there's like a neurodivergence going on, and even then, it's not just ND that's the problem. Like, there's usually inflammation that's amplifying it. There's usually gut dysfunction. There's usually detoxification issues that are affecting the neurotransmitters and the hormones and how they're breaking down and clearing. And so I don't accept that progesterone is wrong, because you had progesterone flowing your through your body your entire life. And sure, some people have a different experience of when progesterone rises, but again, we were built by God beautifully. I really do not believe that you were meant to never tolerate progesterone in your body. So I think that there's probably just things that haven't been evaluated, but progesterone is needed. It's the harmony to estrogen. Mm-hmm. And even when you lose your hormones, it still needs to be there.
And with that, I just want to reiterate one thing that you said, because a lot of people are misunderstanding that if they've had a hysterectomy and, you know, they're OBGYN or whatever said, well, you don't have a uterus, so you don't need progesterone. That's false, because there are a lot of other receptors for progesterone in your body, like you mentioned, in your brain, but it's also important for bone health. We hear a lot about osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, and the importance of estrogen for that. But progesterone also benefits your bone health in terms of stimulating osteoblasts, which are our bone building cells, creating new bone, increasing bone formation, and helping couple bone reabsorption with formation. So it is really, really important from a bone density standpoint. And I think that if you are someone who is still confused by this, I would encourage you to go to the research and bring it to your doctor around why progesterone. We actually have a whole podcast just on taking progesterone and the benefits of it, even without a uterus. If you go back and look in some of our older episodes, we did a whole deep dive on that, because there are so many OBGYNs that still have this belief that if you've had a hysterectomy or you're just in menopause, that you can just take estrogen and you don't need to have progesterone. And as we just talked about, there are many reasons why we would want to have progesterone and honestly put progesterone in first. Generally, it's one of the most well-received hormones. But like Becca said, there can be some individuals that, you know, have reactions to it. And so the second thing here is to start low and slow. I wouldn't right out of the gate start with 200 milligrams. If you're looking at, for example, prescription Permetrium, which is going to be covered by your insurance, the minimum is 100 milligram capsule at nighttime. My thought is, if you're somebody in our age group, in the mid-30s, even, you know, young 30s, one, we have to ask the question as to, like, what are your stress levels in your sleep and all these other things? Are you eating to nourish your body and your hormones to build proper hormones? But my thought would be start with something like Progon B or a Quicksilver progesterone. Introduce that to your body. Progon B, for example, 10 drops is 40 milligrams. It's a dropper. You put it under your tongue. You can go up with that if you need to. And then, okay, hey, I'm tolerating 75 milligrams of this. Then maybe it makes sense for me, or 50 milligrams. Maybe it makes sense for me to do the compounded form. But I'm saying this because the cost of compounding is going to be higher. And because some women, even one of our medical providers, she's like, I'm good with 10 milligrams of progesterone. She didn't need a lot. Mm-hmm. I had the 100. It made me like so tired. I couldn't handle it. So okay, go back down. I get the 50s. Again, right now, Ethan's waking up in the middle of the night. It's just one of those things. I'd love to take it for all the other benefits, more for on the mood side for me. Cause my periods have normalized. My progesterone actually looks really solid on my Dutch test I just did. So I don't feel that I need it, but I could definitely use it because of stress and mood in the later half of my cycle. And my husband and my children probably agree to that. So because of that, I still think there are benefits to starting low and slow. And one of those things, we have them in our full script, can be an easy trial for you. It's pretty safe and effective. This is not medical advice, but if I were the person who felt like, hey, my periods are shortening, so now I'm getting these short luteal phases, right? So I'm starting to get 21 day, 23 day, 24 day cycles. One, that's annoying. And two, that's an indicator of low progesterone. Grab some Progon B. Give it a go. Two drops if you feel like you're a really sensitive person. But generally, if you're not sensitive, start with 5 drops, half the normal dose, go up from there. And the same thing on the estrogen side. So if you were someone, let's say you're going to conventional medicine, you're getting an estrogen patch, don't start with the 0.075. Ask for that patch to be the 0.025, maybe 0.0375. You can always go up. But I know Becca sees this a lot more than I too, in terms of what you just mentioned, the water retention. Like, I had a client who gained 8 pounds pretty rapidly. And I'm like, whoa, 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 what happened in terms of, like, we were so excited for her to get the estrogen patch. Oh, they started her at a higher dose estrogen patch and she's very sensitive to it. Actually, she's still off of it. And when we go back on it, it's like, hey doc, give me the lowest dose and let me cut that in half. Mm-hmm. Introduce it slow to my body, because she's in a phase of life. She hasn't experienced these hormones for a while.
Exactly. And that's what we see, is when your body hasn't had like a sniff of hormones in years, you've been postmenopause and you decide to now go on hormones because you're just now learning of the benefits and you want to explore this. Like your body hasn't had any hormones flowing through it for a while. And so you have to start really low because even if you do want to get up to a higher dose, you bring in that high dose, your body is going to go haywire. And so we need to be smart about what we're bringing in because it is always easier to go up in dose if you feel nothing on it. Okay, fine. Let's bring a little bit higher of a dose in, give it some time, which is going to be another thing that we talk about. But like, much, much easier to do that than have to backtrack because you were put on a pellet or you were put on a super high dose. You had all these symptoms. You had wateriness, breast tenderness. Your boobs grew like two sizes. You have headaches or migraines or something like that. Another thing I talk to a lot of people about, they go up in estrogen dose because of hormonal migraines, when in reality, it may be causing your migraines to go up in estrogen dose. So there's a lot of things that have to be evaluated, which is why I always start low and slow, because lowest effective dose possible, as long as we are getting the benefit that we need. Another thing, number three, is layer them in one at a time if you can. So this is where starting earlier on can be beneficial, and usually where progesterone comes in first. Main reason I like doing this is because then you know what it's doing. Like, you know, if I'm having adverse reactions, if I'm having side effects, or if I'm experiencing anything, I can isolate what is potentially causing it, right? Usually the order that we go in is progesterone, testosterone, and then estrogen, estrogen being last, because you don't usually want to bring it in until the very end of perimenopause or once you've hit that final menopausal state, because in most cases, estrogen is fluctuating very high and then very low. And when you bring in estrogen on top of that, you're going to make the highs higher and the lows a little bit different. And so it's why we usually don't consider estrogen until later on, unless there is a symptomatic reason to do so. Really bad joint pain, really bad energy, you know, sometimes people get vaginal dryness, right? And in those cases, maybe we bring in an estrogen cream before we bring in an actual estradiol patch or an estradiol injection, right? So something to consider. That's usually what we do. If you are wanting to layer them in a little bit quicker, we will usually do them every, you know, month, 2 months, because you need to give it time to saturate in the system. That's the other thing to consider. Usually with hormones, blood levels will normalize pretty quick, but like metabolization, cell saturation, full effect of the hormones, honestly, you're probably not going to experience for at least 12 weeks. And so you need to give it time to regulate and normalize. That's why you haven't had hormones in a while. You bring estrogen in, you might have some breast tenderness. You might have some wateriness for a little bit of time before your body gets used to it and can normalize the levels again. So just something to consider. You don't want to just jump the gun off the bat. If like immediately you get a symptom, you don't just stop it right away. Like, consider what the symptom is.
Breast tenderness. I love the way that Megan talks about this in terms of, it's like going through puberty again because you're training your body. What is this?
Yes.
And by the way, many of us, myself included, when I had horrible PMS and horrible acne, I went on birth control. I suppressed all of that. And so when you suppress your natural hormones, there is a time where you go through an experience of feeling these hormones like you would, you know, maybe in puberty. And so I would say, yeah, don't give up on it too early either. But at the same time, I know that many women are lost because they've gone to their OBGYN. It was a fight to get them to even prescribe. And then now they're having all of these reactions and they don't know what to do. So they just quit. And that's really where a provider can be very helpful in terms of like what we do. I'm not the prescriber, but I am the educator. And a lot of times we're working in tandem with our prescribing medical team on the educational side, because at the same time that they're asking the client and looking at labs and symptoms and everything to prescribe, we're coming in and educating, hey, here's where we're at in the process in terms of optimization. And here are some reasons why maybe I don't feel good about putting them all in at once, right? Like you just said, if you put them all in at once, you don't know what's working, what's not, what's making things worse. And so that brings us to number four, and that's optimized metabolic health first. I mentioned this before, but we'd see so commonly for women high insulin and insulin resistance, whether or not we see the blood sugar levels elevated or the A1C levels elevated yet, we are seeing that the person is inflamed, they're struggling to lose weight, and they think that hormones might help them with their weight loss. And sure, there are a lot of research studies and evidence to say that very low hormones or very high hormones can impact our weight loss. But what we want to do is we want to come in and lower inflammation, regain sensitivity to insulin because insulin is your fat storage hormone and balance and regulate your blood sugar so that you can A, get the lowest effective dose of your HRT and feel it and likely have less negative reactions than you would putting them in a body that's inflamed. And I think if you've listened to us for a while, you've heard us talk and Vince, even on our podcast or us refer to what he shares. If you have HRT or and a hormone's coming in to a body that's inflamed, then you're likely to turn into more of a watery mess and you feel awful. Then you got to detox it all out of your system and you go back to the drawing board. So why not, especially for longevity, if you're using these tools for longevity, optimize your metabolic health first. Do the gut work. This is one thing that I just have to rant about because I had a SIBO post go up this weekend and people are like, bloating and constipation. And I'm like, just wanting to rip my hair out. Bloating is not normal. And there are so many things that can cause and drive bloating, including high estrogen, as well as very low estrogen, because it's important, you know, for our mucous membranes and things like that from the constipation side. But how many times have I see somebody on HRT or extremely estrogen dominant, like, nah, it's not my hormones. Okay. Well, then you let me know how all the other things that you've tried have worked for you in terms of your bloating. We see it so commonly, especially think about females who the week before your period, you notice your digestion's off. Things are slowing down. You are a little bit more bloated. Maybe you've got a little gas coming out of nowhere. Becca and I were just talking to each other the other day about this. Ovulation, because we're cycle synced, surprise. Ovulation was like just one day. It was only one day for me. I don't know how it was for you, but like what the actual is going on in terms of this gas today? I don't know what triggered it, but there are hormonal reactions in your gut microbiome, because your gut microbiome has to metabolize and detoxify these hormones. So before you get on these things, I would definitely recommend working your gut a little bit, doing a cleanse, making sure that you're moving your bowels every day, your liver supported, your bile flow is supported, higher low estrogen impacts that. And that is really important for antimicrobial activity, for motility and stimulating your bowel movements and keeping you regular. And if you're not doing those things first, you're probably, again, going to find that, hey, I just don't feel good on these. And it's not the hormone's fault. It's literally the dysfunction that's been underlying for years that menopause is highlighting to you now. But instead of addressing it, you're like, I'm just going to start the hormones. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And then we blame the hormones when it's rarely ever the hormones. So the other thing is once you start them, you stay on them. And a lot of people I talk to are like, well, I stopped them after menopause because my symptoms were gone. It's like, no, the benefit very much so is beyond just your hot flashes and night sweats and, you know, the insomnia that you're experiencing. Like bone health, we know estradiol levels, I just posted about this today, estradiol levels blood-wise need to be around 60 or higher to be preventative against bone loss. And then the higher they go, you can actually build new bone. So you can have the benefit far beyond and don't have to deal with osteoporosis. We know that for cognitive health and for dementia risk and all of these things, estrogen is extremely important for brain health. We know testosterone is also extremely important for immune health. Progesterone is important for sleep and GABAergic effect. Like all of these things benefit us far beyond just symptoms. And so they are one of those things too, that they don't like fix a problem and then the problem's fixed. When they are gone, they're gone. They're gone out of your body. You didn't like get hormones back from taking them for a while. Like they are gone and now you don't have the levels anymore and you go back to zero. And so
it's called hormone replacement therapy for a reason.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, you stay on them long term until the day you die. Like Dr. Mary Claire says, I don't agree with her on a lot of stuff, but I agree with her on this. Like I will die with my estrogen patch on. And then number six, women need testosterone too. I love this fun fact. When converted to the same units, you have more testosterone than you have estrogen as a female. Mm-hmm. We need it. And it is an epidemic right now of low testosterone. I have seen multiple labs in the past month where testosterone isn't even traceable on labs. Like it gives an error.
Yeah.
Because it's so low.
Sad. Very sad. Now with this, I'm going to say, and I think you would agree with this too, it's important to know your genetics. Ideally, if anything, get a Dutch test, look at your estrogen clearance and methylation, but also look at your aromatization from testosterone to estrogen. For me, I also have the 5-alpha preference. So I felt really good around 20 units of testosterone, but I was getting upper back acne, very shiny skin. I wasn't getting oily, and I don't mind that at all. Like, I actually like that glow. Sex drive was really good. I felt energy was good. I felt my workouts were a lot better, which is really why I want it. Like, I want to feel strong in the gym again. And like, I haven't. And that stamina doesn't seem to be there. Part of it is just, you know, working out by yourself and like tired. And, you know, I'd rather be working on my business really. Because it's not as fun as like going either with my husband or like a friend or whatever. But I also then started getting, acne like on my forehead or like a little bit of my chin. And I can't have that. Like, I'm like scarred for life from that period of time where I'm working on my story, and I'm opening it up with being 60 pounds overweight in high school, acne all over my face. But I did get to go to the prom with the nerdy guy because I was in the friend zone. Like, I went and I didn't even finish prom with him. It was like a horrible story. I was also probably very not nice to him because I just went, I said yes just to go to prom, but not like to go with him. You know what I mean? Like, I just went because I wanted to be with my other friends, but I was in the friend zone because I was the fifth girl.
Bringing me back so many memories. I was dating a guy from another school and I wanted to break up with him, but I couldn't because we were already like committed to going to prom together. So it was super awkward. And he cried when I broke up with him. And I vividly remember this, and he like begged me not to. And it just was really uncomfortable.
There's a reason why you wanted to break up with him if he was crying. But anyway, so with testosterone, I think it's important to see how your body is utilizing it and watch that pathway as well, because you may need to do one of two things. Layer in some spironolactone, especially if you're noticing you're having more like hair loss, because we can see that a lot for women going on testosterone. They notice they're thinning hair, you know, more. And then also support your estrogen clearance heavily or more than you would, because now you've seen, okay, I have a filter, I'm aromatizing it, I'm turning testosterone into estrogen. We always say it's like Plinko, where you put your hormones in doesn't mean that's always where they're going to stay, right? Like, you can have DHEA, it can go into androgens or even on to testosterone, but then you can aromatize that estriol or estradiol. And then from there, you have to clear all that estrogen out of your body. And so this is really why we say this in this order: progesterone first, then testosterone, because that's going to naturally, more for some than others, but that's going to naturally influence and may raise your estrogen, right? Mm-hmm. And so then from there, which pathway are you clearing it down? More of the protective pathway. And then are you methylating it out of the body? So all these things on HRT, I think, are very important, because too much of a good thing is not always a good thing. And a good thing can turn into a bad thing very easily if we have genetic,
yes,
mutations or blocks or poor detoxification and clearance. And so that kind of takes us to the next one in terms of supporting your liver. But if you're listening to this and you've not done a Dutch hormone test, I would, you know, we do this now as a one-off. We're not going to give you like a 3 to 6 month plan. And we're not only going to talk to you about your hormones, but at least the value of that test, I think it's invaluable for not only that, but also like things like quinolinate. What's your, neurological impact in terms of maybe neuroinflammation and oxidative stress and things like that that we can see on there. But I would really advise that you do that either before you go on them or while you're on them. And we do this for breast cancer patients as well. By the way, if someone has had breast cancer or history of it, and they're now on hormone replacement therapy after their 5-year, you know, window, checking that about every 6 months, I think, is wise. And then, you know, thinking about somebody just who has a history in their family of breast cancer, ovarian cancer.
Yeah. And I typically prefer testosterone injections if someone can tolerate them, because it creates the most steady blood levels and seems to create the best outcomes in terms of doesn't raise SHBG as much as creams or gels do. And it seems to actually improve symptoms a lot more than creams and gels do. So that is always my preference if people can. And blood levels, I seem to find around like the 100 range, 100 to 150 range, total testosterone seems to be a sweet spot for a lot of women. I don't like seeing women near men. Like, I don't think that women should be dosed on testosterone up into the 700s. I even if they feel good there, I really don't think it's healthy.
Who's doing that?
Oh, I've seen it. I have seen it. So I don't care how they feel. Like, I just, that's a personal opinion. Anyways, the next two can kind of go together, and Liz touched on this, but supporting your liver and utilizing estrogen detoxification support. So the thing to understand about bringing hormones into play is you are now asking your liver to have to detoxify and process another thing, right? And depending on the doses that you're on, depending on the types that you're on, it's more work for the liver. And so I always believe that liver support is a good idea just because of how much we're exposed to on a day-to-day basis nowadays. Our liver takes a beating, especially like if you also drink alcohol on occasion, if you, you know, don't get enough sleep sometimes, like all of these things stress out the body. And so bringing in, whether it's a, you know, N-acetylcysteine, whether it's a blend of liver support, like a liver GI detox or B's complex, methylation support, all of those are great. I really like Endoaxis is a really good product. Gosh, I'm going to blank who it's by, but it has a blend of a lot of liver support and DIM and calcium deglucurate. It's a great detoxification support for estrogen and overall hormones in general. I have the full block in aromatization, and so I push my testosterone to estrogen a lot, and I can get really estrogen-dominant symptoms from it. So I have to stay on DIM. I have to stay on those things to help kind of quell the side effects that can come with being on testosterone, because I really do like the benefits of it, but I will get the negatives of it if I do not put these things in place. And I think even if you aren't, you know, wanting to go on DIM, DIM has not shown to lower blood levels. I've seen this time and time again. I've had people on high dose DIM and their blood levels don't lower. It just helps how the body is using it and clearing it. And so if you don't want to use DIM, at least looking at like a calcium deglucurate and an N-acetylcysteine or something that's going to help with the clearance of estrogen.
Yeah. So the name of that is Formula 3.5 and the company is Endoaxis.
Yep.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about this is not only do you have the DIM and the brassicas in there with the calcium deglucurate, similar to Estro Freedom, which we referred to a lot on this podcast, we also have a lot of those B vitamins and methylation and liver support. For me, I'm going to switch over to this because
it's a little bit more expensive, but it's a combination product.
It's going to replace the three things. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks for that reminder for myself. So I think you mentioned utilize estrogen detox support. We're not going to beat a dead horse here, but number nine, lift weights. Longevity. What is the organ of longevity? Muscle. Your 5 pound, your 10 pound weights. They ain't gonna cut it. If you're doing some shoulder raises and you're doing like 15, 20 reps, okay, 10 pounds is burning. I get it. That was me on Monday. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I'm still sore yesterday, but then you need to get under the bar. Like, I love barbell. I know for a lot of people, if you're new to this stuff, fine, just get in and get cables then. Like, get machines that can be a little bit safer for form and technique. We've seen a lot of ugly lifts in our day from both working in gyms, but you need to strength train. And I would say 3 to 4 days a week. It does not have to be high intensity, but that's going to also support that growth hormone in the body, your insulin sensitivity, as well as just natural levels of testosterone. And then remember, at the end of the day, number 10 here is that hormones are not a silver bullet. So everything that we've talked about here applies. Like, your nutrition needs to be on point, your movement, your stress management, your sleep, your detoxification, your gut, all the things. And I would even, you know, just add to this that if you haven't looked at other things as being root cause contributors and you're thinking that, hey, my hormones going offline are the only things here, you could also be missing very big pieces to your puzzle when we think about deficiencies, because many people are deficient in vitamins and minerals that are key to production of hormones and supporting, you know, your body in terms of cholesterol and all of those things. It is normal for cholesterol to rise when estrogen drops. So if you're seeing your cholesterol go up, don't freak out. I just actually have a lab review this week where she was on hormones, changed the route because I'm like, this isn't working for you. And it's beautiful now that her hormones are coming up to a better place. Her cholesterol has renormalized. So we go up to 240 for people under the age of 60. If you're a female, after the age of 60, between 200 and 300 total cholesterol is a fine range for that. And just remember, like, you should be doing frequent check-ins with your providers. Generally, it's every 3 months as you're starting out for that first year. And then after that, it's about every 6 months. There was something else that I was going to add in here, but I don't remember. So with that, we hope that this is helpful for you. share it, tag a friend. Let us know if you have questions too. Yeah. You can write into the podcast. There's a link on our website, fitmom.co. You can always request a call with our team. Links are in the show notes. And if you're like, hey, I want to do a Dutch test, or I want to do a comprehensive lab and, you know, understand what it all means and maybe what are the things I should work on or optimize because I'm considering hormones or I have started some hormones, links are always in the show notes. And we hope that you have a fantastic New Year's. Happy New Year. Woo. Be safe. Have fun, and let's make 2026 the best year yet.